Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna
shout.
Welcome back, everyone. You know that music, so you know what time it is. It is a Wednesday. The Bills get back to work. And with that, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how are we doing? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Hope you enjoyed your football watching weekend. And now back at it here with the Bills hitting the practice field today. A little while, and getting ready for the New Orleans Saints on Sunday.
We're getting ready for the Saints, and Sal, me and Derek were talking about it too. I mean, look, we've all looked at the schedule, past Baltimore, the whole thing, and how there is that, I've called it the soft underbelly, and in some ways it's even gotten somewhat nicer for the Bills, with Joe Burrow maybe being out for the year, Houston really looking rough on offense especially. But Sal, when you're looking at this next stretch of games, New Orleans, of course, being really the first one there, what are you keeping your eye on through the first 3 weeks with the Bills now being 3-0?
Well, I think that you have to button up the third down defense that showed its ugly head again against the Dolphins. Sean McDermott was very happy with first and second down defense that forced him into third downs, and that's right. But, you know, there were some plays where the Bills could have stopped the Dolphins a little bit sooner. I think this is a game where, let's face it, you're not facing as high in quality of an opponent. So even though the numbers, you might come out, and you know what people do, the numbers come out, you're like, well, you only played the Saints. But there's an opportunity against another NFL team to fix that. And that's what you need to do this week. And I'm going to be watching for that. Injuries are going to be obviously really on the forefront because the Bills have Ed Oliver and Matt Milano this week. We'll be watching. And guys, let's just even assume, you know, and we all know that they're not long-term injuries. So let's say they play, they don't play. It doesn't really matter at this point for the purpose of next week, what's happening with everybody who could start practicing again, like Max Harrison and Tyler Bass. We'll see. And then, of course, Larry Hoyt, I always do that. Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, and they could wind up, you know, and they're going to start, you know, coming back to the facility, even though they can't play for a few weeks. So I think what I'm watching for is just kind of the evolution of the team over the next few weeks, A, on the field, on a couple of things that you want to be a little bit buttoned up on as you go forward into a tougher stretch a little bit later, and B, the roster management of the team, and you hope you have tough decisions because that means you're staying healthy.
So on those tough decisions, Sal, and I heard a little bit of what you were talking about this morning with Jeremy and Joe, but with Hoyt and Ogunjobi coming back, Hoyt, I heard much more about him during the summer of, you know, when he was going up against backups, he looked like a man amongst boys. You know, they obviously signed him to a much longer deal. There seems to be more of a belief in a long-term plan with him, but also Ogunjobi. We know Deion Walker's been playing very well as a rookie, the fourth rounder. He's really kind of, you know, outside of Jackson Hawes, he seems to be making the most headlines for Bills rookies. T.J. Sanders, though, not so much. Not saying that he's been terrible or anything, but, you know, obviously less than Deion Walker up to this point.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, I mean, again, let me just reiterate to everybody, we are a few weeks away from this happening, right? This is not next week. Next week, they can come back into the facility. They are not even playing until after the bye week. But I do think you have to start having a vision for how the roster looks between now and then. This isn't a deal where you can just say, oh, we'll keep him on the suspended list. Now, if a guy was IR, you could do that. If the Bills don't want to put Max Harrison or Tyler Bass on the field next week, they don't have to. It can take as long as they want. But these guys, you know, they're going to come off suspension. So it is a few weeks down the road, but I do think you have to have a vision for what the team and the roster looks like. And I agree with you that T.J. Sanders hasn't flashed as much as Deion Walker, but I don't think he's been bad either. He's had plays early on, first game, Baltimore. Sean McDermott said on the radio show with me after the game, he said, well, the effort was there. And it was kind of like a backhanded compliment, I think, saying, hey, they still need to do things a little bit better. And that's okay. That's to be expected. Run defense has been much better the last 2 weeks. Those guys have been a big part of it, the two rookies. So we'll see where it goes. You hope you have those tough decisions to make when it comes time. But in the meantime, this is another opportunity for TJ Sanders and Deion Walker, both of them, to get more reps. I think that's what's really important here. You got this week, you got next week against the Patriots, and then you have Monday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons. These guys still have to play for three more games, and you hope that that experience allows them to force the coaches to have to make a real tough decision.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Westsur Hotline. Bills and Saints this Sunday, a rare 1 o'clock at home, by the way. That's something that's going to be fascinating to look back on through the season. But Sal, with the Saints coming up here, and there's opportunity to be had when it comes to facing a Saints team that last week, I think the floor fell out for New Orleans there and looked like the team that a lot of people are worried they might be.
Yeah, there is. I don't know. Are you asking me a specific question? I don't know what you're asking me. Sorry.
No, it more or less is. There's plenty of opportunity for this team, but it's a Saints team, though, coming in here that they are starting to look like the team that is in shambles.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, listen, they got pounded last week by the Seattle Seahawks, right? I mean, but every game is different. You don't know exactly what's in store when they come in here, and what they're gonna have up their sleeve or want to do to you, because they're trying to kind of salvage a little bit here. They're gonna when you get beat like that, well, it says that you could very well just not have much talent on your roster, which that might be the case. It also could be the point of, you go and redo some things and say, what can we do better and fix? Where are our strengths? Where are our weaknesses? And they change a lot of what they do. So I think, you go back and watch the Seattle tape if you're the Bills, and you can figure something out with the Saints. But I bet you they also have some different approaches, because they don't go into a game and come out of that game and say, we're going to do the same thing. They're going to try and do some different things. But look, Spencer Rattler, young quarterback, and, Sean McDermott has a very good record against rookies. And I know he's not a rookie, last year was, but he's a first-year starter, young quarterback. And, he's going to do some things. The crowd's going to be tough on them when they have the ball. They're going to have a tough day going against the Bills defense in that environment. But you have to be ready for them to have a better game plan and something that they can kind of go back to the drawing board for. So, yes, I don't know if I'd say they're in shambles. I just think that they're not that talented. And then, we'll see where it goes.
Sal, one of the big storylines, I guess, for everyone to keep up on this week especially is going to be the injuries on defense. Ed Oliver, of course, after having his smash success of a week one game, has been dealing with an ankle injury, right? And then Matt Milano now has also picked up an injury as well. It never really felt like last week they were ever going to play against the Dolphins with it being a short week. Now, though, it's been a little while since we've heard from the Bills. What's your feeling on the status for both of them? Do we think there's a chance both of them could play, either of them? Where are we at?
We'll find out in about an hour from now. Sean McDermott will talk to the media. He'll give us an update on both those guys, and we'll find out a little bit more clarity on if maybe they practice today, maybe they're available on Sunday. I've gotten the feeling that, ever since this all happened a couple of weeks ago, that maybe Milano was a little closer, simply because there was never really a question if Oliver would practice last week, guys. He wasn't going to practice. There was a point last week where Sean McDermott said Matt Milano could practice. So to me, it feels like Milano's ahead of Oliver, but that doesn't mean that both of them can't be ready to play on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Maybe you give it another week, and we just talked about TJ Sanders and Deion Walker, the experience they're getting. Those guys, another week of experience. If you feel that they can get the job done adequately, you might want to rest Ed Oliver for another week. As long as Matt Milano is healthy enough to play, and there's no, well, it really goes for both guys, as long as there's no real, risk of re-injury, I guess, that would be something the Bills would probably.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Put them both on the field.
Sal, back to something that I managed to bring up and I wanted to get your thought on, though, of this is one of two, potentially three 1 o'clock games left at Highmark Stadium. What does it mean for, you know, for you and for, you know, and many fans that this is not only rare, but especially within the last season of the current Highmark Stadium, that there's going to be two, maybe three 1 o'clock games at home this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the world we live in now, right? That the Bills are good, so they're going to get a lot of primetime games. Charles Davis is on the call for CBS, and whenever Charles does the games, we talk a little bit to get a little bit, you know, compare notes so he can get more familiar with the roster and things. And we spoke yesterday on the phone, and I said that to him. I said, you know, a rare 1 o'clock game for you here. He said, I know. He said that's what happens when you guys are good, right? He said, Sal, you remember all the times when the Bills would never have primetime games? I'm like, yep, we talk about that a lot here in Buffalo, no doubt. I don't know if I'm thinking as much about a rare 1 o'clock game for the final year of the stadium. I think that comes along with just every game. But I do think that, you know, having just a 1 o'clock game in September is cool because I like, you know, having warmer weather 1 o'clock games. I think the Orchard Park looks good, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's more night games coming next week again, a night game at Highmark. And then they're not home at all until the Chiefs game in mid-November. And then it's really a bunch of 425 games against the Chiefs and the Bengals and, you know, the Eagles later in the year. So really, yeah, 1 o'clock home game against the New Orleans Saints. I think it's cool that they're having that they have a 1 o'clock home afternoon game. It's great for the fans who have to spend late nights at these night games and early mornings and things like that. But that's the price you do pay in that regard when you're a really good team and all the networks want to have a piece of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Sal Capaccio here for just a few more minutes. Sal, getting away from football, I would feel rude if I didn't ask you about this. So the Yankees are having a hell of a run here to end the year, winning six of the last seven. They're one game out of the AL East. They did clinch a playoff spot last night following their 3-2 win. How are we feeling?
The Yankees did what the Blue Jays had been doing for a while, right? Which is they were kind of dead in the water, and then they have a walk-off win. And the Blue Jays had that run where they were just coming back every single night, it seemed like. They were down, they would come back, and they'd win. You know, the Yankees, but they have no excuse not to sweep the White Sox. They have to sweep the White Sox. I was really thinking last night, I'm watching the whole game, and I really thought, man, what a missed opportunity. The Blue Jays lose. They were about to lose, and you never know again, like I just said, because they had so many late-inning wins. But and then here you are against basically, are the White Sox the worst team in the league record-wise, second worst, whatever they are. I don't know, behind Colorado, whatever. But here you are, and you can't put them away. Like, that was just deflating. And then, you know, they had their chances in the seventh and eighth, and suddenly in the ninth inning, they get a couple of guys on. You're like, okay. And then I don't know if you saw how it happened, but then there's a double play, and they're down to their final strike. And it's a 3-2 count, and it's a wild pitch, and Volpe scores to tie it. You're like, oh, my God, they have to win this game now. They do. So I think big picture, though, guys, Red Sox are still fighting. Yeah. We just have a tough out here. So, I mean, tonight's big. If the Yankees win, and they need to sweep the White Sox, they really do, and the Blue Jays lose to the Red Sox, they are tied. The only issue for the Yankees is they have to finish ahead because the Blue Jays have the head-to-head, and no longer does baseball do a one-game playoff. It comes down to head-to-head if you're tied.
Yeah, it's a really fun end here to the season, especially in the American League, because not even just that, but the AL Central, Detroit has lost their entire, 15-game lead over Cleveland?
It's unbelievable. I've never seen it. I was reading today, this morning, I think it could be the worst collapse in Major League history, I think, by the number of games they were back. I think if I read that right.
Well, Detroit, and that's the thing, too. Detroit right now, they're in that last wild card spot. Houston is one game back from them. I mean, like, Detroit might go from having a 15-game lead to not even making the playoffs if this all goes poorly for them. The Yankees, though, as I did mention, did clinch.
Can you imagine if two months ago any of us said that the Detroit Tigers wouldn't make the playoffs or might not make the playoffs, so they'd be barely holding on? Like, we'd be like, what's going on? You'd think they had all these injuries, and I don't know, maybe they have a couple injuries, but that's not the case. They just have not played that well. And then the Mets, I mean, what's happening with them too? Right?
I know.
I mean, holy
cow. Oh yeah,
they've had an awful run too. What did they? It was to start the week. It was the first time they weren't in a playoff spot since like April 5th. I'm like, that's incredible. With that being said, though, they won last night, so they are currently in that wild card spot, and they play the Cubs again tonight. The Yankees, of course, have another game against the White Sox at 7:05, and then Blue Jays and Red Sox at 7:07. Sal, we'll let you get ready for practice today. You mentioned Sean McDermott speaking around 12 o'clock, maybe a little before, maybe a little after, but of course, we'll follow all that at Sal Sports over on Twitter. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Sal.
Sal Camacho there on the Western Hotline. And, yeah, this is my thing with baseball. I'll go away for a little while from it. I'm an Angels fan. Like, they've won 70 games. Like,
you have to go away from it for a while.
But, like, the last, like, 2-3 weeks of the season and then, of course, playoff baseball, I am locked in, and I've really enjoyed this. It is a little bit tougher to find games to watch. Like, usually Yankees and Mets games are very easy for me to watch. But I'm very excited to keep an eye on a lot of this because not really keeping an eye much on the NL outside of the Mets. The AL, though, has been a blast to just see the heavy swings that the division races have gone under. Toronto, not that long ago, had a 5-game lead, I think, with like 15 games to go, and it felt like they're going to be just fine. Now they're kind of fighting for their lives here. Boston also trying to clinch a playoff spot as well as they take on the Blue Jays, and as mentioned, the Yankees with the White Sox. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll get a look in on the Saints' point of view of this game. Luke Johnson will join the show at 11 o'clock. You listen to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.